everyone. Happy Wednesday and welcome back to the Crypto Girls Next Door podcast. I'm Sass and I'm joined by Kat, like I am every week. Hello, Kat.
Hi, everybody. It's good to be back this week.
Yes, and we are going to tell you everything you need to know about crypto. So we are kind of diving into the five myths that need to be debunked about crypto today. But first, we got to talk about those CryptoPunks.
Yeah. This is a big news for the CryptoPunk community, huh?
Yeah, I think where we should start though is WTF is a CryptoPunk.
WTF is a CryptoPunk. I mean, if everyone is here long enough, they should know that like CryptoPunk is one of the blue chip NFT in the space that soar into crazy prices during the bull market. BAYC is actually the next in line, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and when you say BAYC, you mean the Bored Ape Yacht Club. But the CryptoPunks have been around for a lot longer than the Bored Ape Yacht Club. They're one of the OG NFT projects. It was created before NFTs were even a thing, right? So like NFTs really took off last year. CryptoPunks have been around, and I stand to be corrected, but I think since 2017.
Yeah. Still a long time. Like I think a lot of OG people had multiple CryptoPunks just because they were in the game so early.
So I know. I wish I had a CryptoPunk. Good for them. Yeah. So here the story here is actually one that's really interesting, right? So I think if you're just learning about NFTs, you kind of think like, why would I want to pay all this money for this JPEG? That's a common narrative we hear. Well, now the CryptoPunks, which are owned by Yuga Labs, which is the same parent company of the Bored Ape Yacht Club. I hope everyone is sticking with me. Mm-hmm. They've been given the exclusive licensing rights over the intellectual property. So what this means is that if you have a CryptoPunk NFT, you now have the right to use it not only personally, so you can obviously put it in your display pic on social media, you might be able to display it on a screen in your home, but you have the exclusive right to use it commercially. So you can put your CryptoPunk on t-shirts, you can pitch to big Hollywood movie productions, get your CryptoPunk in the movies, on TV shows, maybe in a music video. And so it's really allowing the owner of the CryptoPunk to create a side hustle and a business around it. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I think that is something that is a lot of us have been talking about for a long time, but haven't seen it being done. And this is one of the proof that NFT can be more than just a digital image on the internet, right? Like if I have the IP rights, I can come out with a Netflix series on my CryptoPunk. I would like to see that.
Exactly. But I want to point out there is still a journey between having a CryptoPunk and then having a Netflix series, right? Like if you want to do this, if you think, wow, I'm going to get an NFT, I'm going to invest a few $100,000 into a Bored Ape Yacht Club or a CryptoPunk NFT because I want to have it on a Netflix show, you need to make sure you still have a proper business plan and you understand the market and that, you know, you are committed to creating content, whether that be digital content or like physical assets with that CryptoPunk, because it's not a one-stop shop, right?
Yeah,
it's utility, but you need to build that business. I think that's really important and no one is talking about it to the extent that it needs to be talked about.
Yeah, right now it's a really unexplored space and I feel that we barely scratched the surface, you know? So I'm excited to see in the next few years with the NFT space booming the past 2 years to see how we can progress from just IP rights.
Yeah. So if you are a follower of the Bored Ape Yacht Club, Snoop Dogg and Eminem recently put their NFTs in a music video and it won an award at the Video Music Awards. So I think that's like the proof of concept, right? Maybe we can share that on our Twitter for our listeners to view. I think this is the proof of concept of what's possible.
Yeah, that's amazing. But, you know, like today we're going to talk about five myths that we've seen in a space we want to debunk. So Sass, I would like to drop the first myth. Like, are NFT just digital images on the internet? Like, is NFT?
I could go on about this forever. So let me break it down. If I go on a tangent, please tell me to reel it in.
Cess so is very passionate about NFTs.
I am very
guys.
Passionate. So NFTs are non-fungible tokens. And I think even mm-hmm. before we get to this myth, we need to debunk the myth that an NFT is an image. Because an NFT is actually a token, a digital token that is attached to an image or a video, or in some cases, there are some startups trying to figure out how we can attach NFTs to a physical object. So this is like, this is a token. And I think you can think of it as like a digital certificate of authentication, right? So this token tells me that whatever it's attached to is the real one of a kind item, right? So let's start there. Next, they are often attached to a digital image, like a CryptoPunk or a Bored Ape Yacht Club, like we've been chatting about. But NFTs come with a lot more utility. So let's look at the Bored Ape Yacht Club to explain this. The Bored Ape Yacht Club is a couple thousand ape images that live online. Like, cool, this is awesome. But each holder of that NFT gets access to physical events, they get access to digital perks, they get access to physical merch. They've almost mm-hmm. joined a club. So I think in and it's called the Bored Ape Yacht Club. In this instance, we can see like an NFT acting like a membership to a specific club and access to specific people. So we've seen a lot of celebrities like Jimmy Fallon, Eminem, Snoop Dogg. They own Bored Ape Yacht Clubs. So I would imagine that they are now in the Discord channel. They're in the groups. Yeah. Now if I have a Bored Ape Yacht Club, I have access to these people. I go to the same events. I have access to the concerts that the club puts on. I can now, like we spoke about a little bit in our intro, I can use the image on a food truck if I want. You know, I can put my Bored Ape Yacht Club image on the side of my food truck or on the side of my restaurant, use it for advertising. I can license that image out to someone else maybe who wants to join my food truck franchise, or to someone who maybe is making a music video or commercial. And so I think we need to think about NFTs beyond just the digital image. It's what they give you access to. What do you think?
And they come in a lot of different forms, right? They come in all forms, like pictures, videos, music, or even gaming items. Like for some example, you can even have it for identity, like ENS domain, or even IP, or even real estate. So there's a lot of different ways NFT can go mainstream, and there are a lot of use cases that we see NFT in a space that is really underutilized. So we are hoping to see more of this utility coming into play. So one example I think I can give off the bat, right off the bat, is like fashion wearables. So for example, sneakers, like if you take fashion wearables to become an NFT, like how you flip a sneakers to the physical inventory, you can actually increase the speed when you flip the items in a NFT, if the sneakers is like an NFT, right? So it's like a financial instrument. It acts like a financial instrument to allow people to invest in the fashion sector. So I feel that is a pretty cool utility case that the fashion industry is coming in as well. So
yeah, I think that's really cool. And like, let's take those Nike sneakers one step further, just to help people understand. So if I buy a pair of Nike shoes and I get an NFT attached to those shoes, right? Maybe mm-hmm. I don't actually care about that NFT, but there are probably some people who want to wear those Nike shoes in the metaverse or in a game. And so I can then rent those shoes out to other people to wear in the metaverse, to wear in the game, to flex online while I flex mm-hmm. in real life. And so I just think like NFTs are opening up a lot of doors for people to create another source of income that they were not able to do before. So super cool.
Mm-hmm. So I think that jumps up to the next myth. Like, is NFTs and crypto the same thing? What are your thoughts, Cess?
Well, so we have non-fungible tokens, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have cryptocurrencies. And I think this kind of brings us to the fungible versus non-fungible mm-hmm. conversation, right? Because a lot of the currencies we talk about, so let's say like Bitcoin, Ethereum, well, Ethereum is not the currency, Ether. So those are tokens, but they are fungible tokens. So a way to understand this is if I have a $5 bill, mm-hmm. And Kat, you have a $5 bill. if we trade those $5 bills, we both still have our $5. Nothing has changed, right?
Yeah.
That is fungible, right? All $5 bills are the same. I can trade with Kat. I can give it to my mom, to my dad. If they give me one back, I still have my $5. Nothing has changed. A non-fungible token is not tradable in that sense. There is no other token like that. It is the only one in existence, which gives it that unique factor, again, allowing it to be attached to physical and digital assets to prove that that is the asset that it says it is. So when I think about NFTs and cryptos, they are not the exact same thing. And there are so many different use cases for NFTs and cryptos that I'm sure you're going to get into, because I'm going on a little bit of a rant here. So tell me, what do you think about when you think about NFTs versus cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, I mean, the F in the NFT means fungible. So NFT non-fungible, so they are non-fungible. But currencies, cryptocurrencies are fungible. So like what Seth has just explained is that they are mutually interchangeable. But for NFTs, on the other hand, they are pretty different. So they are like baseball cards or Beanie Babies, for examples. They are non-fungible. So they are worth whatever someone is willing to pay for them based on intangibles, desirability, fact traits, right? And on the other hand, crypto, the value is purely economic. It's derived from a currency or an investment. But for NFT, they have both economic and non-economic value. So those are like the biggest differences. They are like same, but different, you know? So they are not entirely. Same, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also in the eyes of the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're very different. You know, NFTs are being looked at, you know, I described them in some way as, you know, a form of membership to a club earlier, but they can also be digital collectibles, just like what Kat was saying, like Beanie Babies or baseball cards. These can be something to commemorate a specific event or a specific time. So, for example, if you make a charitable donation to some organization, you might get an NFT in return, and you can hold on to that to remember, oh yeah, I made that donation. I support this charity, and I can fly that as my flag, you know? So NFTs definitely have a different sentimental value and monetary kind of value than cryptos. But let's go into our third myth. Crypto is a volatile asset and will never be a viable investment. Kat, what do you think?
I think cryptocurrency is seen in the media and public eyes characterized by the volatility, like the ups and downs that we experience on a daily basis. So of course, a lot of us, we do not recommend retail users or new users to do day trading, right? Because that's just like, if we don't understand the instruments enough, the financial instruments to play out the whole cryptocurrency game, like we do not recommend that. So like any other traders or any other financial products in a space, like we'll always recommend people to diversify their holding, invest for the long term, ignore the trends, and most importantly, put your emotions out of it. Because with the fluctuation, and if you want to put your emotions in play, I can tell you that you're gonna be very depressed. Like, just keep emotional factors out of your cryptocurrency bag.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say that, yes, right now, many cryptocurrencies are very volatile. And so you should always do your own research. You should always invest only what you are willing to lose.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. These people who are making tons of money day trading are very smart. They do this as a full-time job. And their risk tolerance is probably higher than someone who, you know, is just starting to dabble in crypto. You're just starting to learn about it. So don't try to keep up with the Joneses, right?
Yeah.
Crypto is not a get-rich-quick vehicle, and there's that narrative in the media. It is volatile right now. Unfortunately, I think a lot of us who are in the space, you know, believe in the technology more so than watching the number go up and down. And so just, you know, be careful, understand your risk tolerance, and do your own research.
Yeah, just watch the volatility play out and from a safe distance, and just hodl, you know, just buy and hold.
You know, someone told me that someone asked them for advice when it came to, you know, investing in crypto and the advice that they gave that person. I think it was like the convenience store that they often go to. The convenience store operator said, hey, what crypto should I invest in? I kind of heard of this random altcoin. And the advice that this person gave was, you know, just stick to Bitcoin and Ether. Don't mm-hmm. really go outside of that. If you don't know what you're doing, take the time to learn. This is not financial advice. So like always do your own research, even when it comes to Bitcoin and Ether. But those two have been around for a long time. And you know, in my opinion and my perspective, they have a pretty solid foundation, both of those projects.
Yeah, and again, this is not financial advice from us. This is just our own, you know, understanding. So yeah, NFA, guys.
Yeah, not financial advice. Okay, our next myth. Stable mm-hmm. coins are stable because they are pegged one-to-one to fiat currency. And if you don't know what fiat currency, that is cash, like the US dollar is fiat mm-hmm. currency. You can think of a stable coin like USDC is pegged one-to-one to the US dollar. Kat, mm-hmm. tell me, are stable coins stable?
Given the recent events that we see this past year, obviously they are not that stable. They tend to depeg sometimes, but there are a lot of different stable coins, different types of stable coins, right? They are being pegged to another asset class, and some asset class are more volatile than the other, and the way they run the stable coin as collateral might be very different. So let's jump into that, into the type of stable coin collateral. But before we go into that, I'm sorry, we might want to give an explanation on what a stable coin really is. Like, so Sass, do you want to take that or...
Yeah, I mean, I can try. So there are two different types of stable coins that we talk about. We have asset-backed stable coins mm-hmm. and algorithm-backed stable yeah. coins, or algorithmic stable coins. Sorry, excuse me. So asset-backed stable coins are tokens. It's a cryptocurrency, again, right? That is backed by real physical assets. So that mm-hmm. means in the treasury, there are assets like US dollars or other assets, you know, bonds, stocks, whatever, that can back the value for the stable coin 100%. Meaning that if I have 500 stable coins that are backed by the US dollar, I should be able to trade in my 500 stable coins and get 500 US dollars back because that value is in the treasury.
Yeah, like a reserve.
Like a reserve. Algorithmic stable coins are different, very different, yeah. and they are backed by algorithms. Kat, I'm going to throw this definition off to you because I'm not really great at explaining the technicality and the science behind algorithmic okay. stable coins. I'm even a little confused over them.
So algorithmic stable coin, just to have a TLDR on what they do, they maintain their peg, or we call it stability, through algorithms, which increase or decrease a coin supply in response to the demand. So these algorithmic stable coins have been in the center of all our attention following the crash of US Terra, which is associated with...
Yeah, Terra was an algorithmic stable coin.
Was, yeah. It's no longer tradable anywhere. And it's associated with cryptocurrency Luna USD, but they had a major crash in May, and estimated $42 billion of investment was wiped out in that week alone. So stablecoins, to debunk this myth, they might not seem as stable as they seem. So again, do your own research and really know what you're getting into. But at the same time, there are more popular stablecoins in the space that we have seen. So there are DAI, for example, right? We have DAI. What other stable coins do you use, Sass?
USDC, then there's mm-hmm. Tether. You know, Tether had a lot of regulatory issues in the beginning, but they've yeah. kind of proved and shown that they are around for the long term. You know, they've been able to weather a few storms. So there's mm-hmm. USDT. Again, not financial advice. And if you're mm-hmm. just getting into crypto, you know, stable coins aren't really an investment vehicle. They are something that you may want to hold on to. I don't know if you're going to spend, but that's not super popular to spend stable coins at a store. Stable coins are mainly used right now by traders, so people who are day trading crypto. If they want to take some money off the table, they'll turn it into a stable coin. And if we think to the future, stable coins could be a really interesting way to send remittances and send money to people in different countries, right? So if I have a cryptocurrency that is pegged to the US dollar, I know each of these is worth one US dollar, and I want to send it to my family somewhere in Africa, I can assure that they're going to get this money. It's going to be worth the same when it gets there, and the fees are much lower than a lot of the options that are currently on the market.
Yeah, that's nicely put right there. So stable coins do have their drawbacks. So in a nutshell, just do your own research, and yeah, they might not be so stable all the time.
Right. Their name is a little misleading is what we can deduce from some of the recent headlines. Okay, our last myth to chat about on this podcast is that cryptos are for millennials, the young people, and not boomers. Kat, I think that Warren Buffett would say otherwise.
I mean, he's old, but yeah. He sure has his thoughts and experience in the space, but why cryptocurrency, like crypto, the space in general, attracts so many young people, if you look at it, it's honestly because we can bear that, we have that risk appetite when we're young, right? Like as compared to someone which have a family and everything, they might not have the same risk appetite to be exposed to such volatile assets. So for me, they are more suited for people to have a bigger appetite, but I'm not saying that they are not for boomers. Boomers are also welcome to learn and understand the product, but right now I can see that one of the biggest blockers of having people coming into the space across all ages is because of the technicality of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, so I agree with you. When I just introed this subject, I said Warren Buffett might say otherwise, but I misspoke. He would agree with this. He would say it is not for people like him. He doesn't understand it. He thinks that it is a Ponzi scheme. But I have a little bit of a different take than you, Kat. I think cryptocurrencies are for everyone. And when we say, you know, young people understand the tech better, we're getting to a space where you don't really need to understand the tech to get involved in cryptocurrency or to buy Bitcoin and to spend Bitcoin. The space is evolving and the user experience is becoming a lot better. And I think that when people who are in some of the older age brackets than millennials and Gen Z see the use cases, see what crypto can be used for, it is easy for them to onboard and maybe get past that small technical barrier. And when I say small technical barrier, I mean the barrier is becoming smaller. So I'll give you an example. The war in Ukraine. For a lot of people, it was very hard to get funds to Ukraine quickly and in an efficient way. We saw a lot of people turn to cryptocurrency, some for the very first time, to send money to support war efforts. And so I think as more events like this happen, it is easier for older people to understand the value. And as we work on the user experience in the space and builders keep building, I don't think it's going to be something only for young people in the future. So that's my take.
Yeah, I agree with you. And on top of that, I feel that right now, bank has portrayed, like, you know how media is really like the news is travel really, really fast. So I'm not sure if you've seen this, but if you were on Twitter the past few weeks, you will see that a Lebanese man actually took hostage of a bank, right? Because the bank froze people's savings and he really need that fund to pay for hospital bills, which resulted him to actually take hostage of the bank because he really needed money and they didn't want to give them the money. So I think cryptocurrency is an alternative to having your ownership of your own money.
Yeah.
With your own keys.
And if you look at what Bitcoin was born out of, it was born out of the financial crisis, right? If we think back to what happened then, I don't know if you remember, but people who were living in Greece did not have access to the money that they had in the bank. There was a massive bank run. People were trying to get whatever money they could during the financial collapse of that country. And crypto can solve that, right? There is no intermediary. There is no one holding on to your money for you. Your keys, your coins. And that is the end of my rant.
Yeah, we have like the similar takeaways every week, which is
I know asking, we got to get some more contentious topics on here so we can have a little debate.
Yeah, we should do debate sessions next time.
Oh my gosh. So
if anyone have any team story to want to share anything, you guys can go to our Linktree in our podcast Twitter handle, and you can drop your stories or any kind of thing that you want to talk about on the show.
Yes, please follow us on Twitter. Follow us on our Crypto Girls Next Door Twitter. I believe it is CGND Podcast.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is. Yeah. Woo, I got it. Crypto Girls Next Door Podcast. And then our individual handles. I am Sassy the Bear. And Kat, you're a little bit complicated.
I'm Jelly Cat, just that with a 3 Y's, and my cat is K because I'm cool. Cool with a K.
Yeah, we got Jelly Cat with 3 Y's and cool with a K. All right, everyone. We are so happy to have you here listening to us go on random rants every Wednesday. Our goal is to educate you and welcome you into the crypto space, because the more we talk about it, the more people we can onboard into this very exciting new space that allows you to have real ownership over your assets. So thank you for being here with us, and we will hear you, or not hear you, you will hear us next week.
See you guys.